Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Okay, let's pray and then we'll get into today's Bible lesson. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to come into your presence, to study the Word of God together, to feed upon your holy written Word, your Word that can transform our lives and take us from glory to glory. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Thank God. Well, this is not my my message today, but the Holy Spirit ministered this to me so strongly when we were praying this week, and I think it was one of the daily devotions. But I want to it's for someone. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse. Let's start from verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she said, she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So let me give you the background. This Shunammite woman made a little chamber and put a table and a bed and a stool there and a candlestick. And he said every time that the prophet comes along, he could use it. And so Elisha said, this woman has been so good to us. What should we do for her? What should we do for her? And the woman said, look, I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't have need of anything. He said, do you want us to talk to the king on your behalf? Give you free pass to the king. She said, no, I am okay. Then Gehazi said, look, this woman doesn't have a child and her husband is old. So she had gotten to the point where she had closed up that area of her life. She had closed it up to where is, don't touch it. This is impossible. I'm okay without a child. Don't even go there. Don't touch it. So you may be here this morning. There's an area of your life that you have closed. And if somebody asks you for a prayer topic, you probably will say, I don't worry about it. I'm okay, you know. But Elisha said, he said to the woman, by this time next year, according to the time of life, you will deliver a child. And the next year, it happened exactly as the prophet had said, as the man of God had said. She had closed up that area of her life. But God said, in the name of God, I am going to do this for you. And so if you are here, if there's any area of your life that may have been closed up, I see a suddenly coming in that area. In the mighty name of Jesus, God will give you a miracle that you weren't even expecting. It will be a surprise. There is a suddenly coming in that area. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. He said, is that for me? No, he will face, let the person take it. But I see a suddenly coming in somebody's area that they've closed out.
It is
here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that was that. We get that taken care of. We'll move on to the regularly scheduled program. Thank you, Lord. There's a suddenly coming. Not only in our lives, but somebody's life, and also as a church as a whole. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, so last week we studied about godliness. We started on godliness, or living for God, and what that means for us. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. God is a God of miracles. That's what he specializes in doing. Thank you, Lord. So it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, and for this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And then verse 15 says, verse 11, it says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth. Notice that. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And then verse 15 says that practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that your progress may appear unto all. Your progress may appear. Everyone may see your progress. So he says he's encouraging Timothy to live a godly life. He says, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of value, in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And also for the, so when we train our body, we get some value out of it. But he's saying that exercise yourself unto godliness. Live for God. And there is value. He says it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And also for the life to come. And also for the life to come. So there's value, there's the value in living for God in this life and in the life to come. And the verse 12, he tells you exactly what you should exercise yourself to, or what you should, when he expounds on it a little bit. He says, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And then he says, practice these things. Immerse yourself. Give yourself totally to these things. Then your progress. You see, when we live for God, it affects not only our lives, but it affects the lives of the people around us. People, and then everyone will see our progress as we live for God. So out of that list there, an example in speech, verse 12, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Let's focus a little today on the love aspect, and a little bit also on faith as well. To live godly for God, we must make a decision, come to a point where we say that God is the one that means everything to us. He's our absolute. He's the one that we will love and serve all the days of our lives. You see, nothing is impossible to faith. Nothing is impossible to faith. I mean, like Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, he goes there and he says, after 4 days, Lazarus is dead, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. Nothing is impossible to faith. When God visited Mary, the laws of nature concerning childbirth were suspended.
When God visited Sarah, the laws governing childbirth were suspended. Nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is impossible when we believe. But faith works by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And so love is what will set us apart or help us to fulfill what God has called us to do. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Galatians, thank you, Lord. Verse 6, Galatians 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith working through love, or faith working by love. So faith will work, but it takes love. It works through love, as this translation puts it. Faith working through love. It says circumcision or the physical is not what counts for anything, but faith working through love. And in our lives, we have to get to the point where God is priority and God is the most important personality in our lives, and He's the one that we are most interested in. You see, the Bible says that the eye has not seen, neither has it been revealed to us what God has prepared for those that love Him. When we love God, you have never seen the fullness of a life who loves God. God has so many things in store for us. God has so many things laid out for us. But it all starts with our commitment and our dedication to love Him and to serve Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 10. Oh, glory be to God. Thank God. Thank God. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Glory to God. Eye has not seen, neither has it in the ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. It has not been seen, it has not been heard, neither has the heart imagined what God has prepared. But God, thank God, He has revealed these things to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. But notice, is that prepared for those who love Him. And when we love God, the things that He has prepared for us, we begin to just catch glimpses of it. Everyone here and everyone listening as well, God has a great destiny and a great plan for your life. But He wants you to position yourself to benefit and enjoy the things that has been prepared for you. So that's what He was telling Timothy. Their godliness is profitable in this life, but give yourself
yourself to love and to faith. Give yourself, love me, immerse yourself in it. And just let me be your priority. Just let me be the one that you are interested in. For God has prepared for those that love him. If you love God, you are a candidate for what he has laid out for you. He's blessed us and he loves us so much. For me,
I want to give God the maximum value of what he did for me. The maximum. He paid a great price for our redemption. So I want him to get the maximum value that he can get out of a life. And so when I became born again, I was consumed with my love for God. I would do, you see, when you love someone, we talk about the things that we love. If you love sports, that's what you talk about. Whatever we love, that's what we talk about. I love Jesus. So every opportunity that I got, I would tell people about Jesus. Every opportunity that I got, I'm not a professional preacher, but at a basic that I understood, I will tell people about Jesus. So we were in this youth group, and then we will meet like on Saturdays, and after that, we'll just fill up a bus with our instruments, everything, go to some of the neighboring high schools, and those were boarding schools, and we used their entertainment period. They call it entertainment. Every Saturday night, they will have something that they will come together and all this thing, the thing that they will do to entertain themselves. They will talk to the authorities and get that time frame. And I will go the basic gospel in its simplest form, minister it to them, and sometimes in the night, 200-300 people come to the kingdom of God. God, I love you. What can I do for you? You have paid a great price for me. Sometimes we'll go into villages and all that. But he's saying that we should immerse ourselves, give ourselves wholly in love to him. And when we do that, we know that he will reveal himself to us. When we love Jesus, when we love God, he will reveal himself to us. You see, you share your deepest intimate stuff or secrets with people that you love. And you reveal yourself to them, who you really are to them. And Jesus said, when we love him, oh glory, not only would he also, not only that, he will manifest himself to us. John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24. John chapter 14, 23 to 24. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him or her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. I'll reread it again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That means he's totally committed to doing what my word says. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Oh, glory be to God. And make our home with him or her. Hallelujah. He will come and reveal himself to us because we love him. If you back up to verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him
and manifest myself to him. Glory to God. When you love Jesus, what he's saying is, he will reveal himself to you. He will manifest himself to you. The Father also will love you, and they will come and make their abode or their home with you. Imagine having Jesus, having the Father and Jesus living with you in the home, in your home. What will happen? They will ensure that the bills of that home are paid. They will ensure that you are taken care of. They will ensure that everything that concerns your life is taken care of. They will ensure that is their home. That is where they live. I'm conscious of his presence. Sometimes when I wake up, I say, good morning, Lord. I'm conscious that he is living with me. I say good morning to him. I talk to him. He will ensure, he will reveal himself to you. He will manifest himself to you. But he notice that it starts with a commitment. I love you, and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to keep your word. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, he said he will love you and reveal himself, manifest himself. This morning, in any area of your life that you need Jesus, that you need God to reveal himself, I pray that he reveals himself in the mighty name of Jesus. As you make a commitment that, Lord, I will love you, I will keep your word, I pray that he reveals himself to you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. And then also, he promises to deliver the one that loves him. The one that loves him. Psalm 91, verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name. So notice that there is deliverance and there is protection. There is deliverance and there is protection. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name. Hallelujah. That's what happened to Daniel when the king made a decree in the kingdom that no one should pray to any god for the next couple of days. No one should pray to any god. Daniel said that this cannot happen. I love my God, and I am going to pray to him three times a day. I'm going to open my windows and let everybody see that I am praying to my God. Now the king had made a decree, and Daniel was put in the lion's den. But because Daniel loved God, because Daniel has set his heart that nothing is going to stop me from serving God, nothing is going to stop me and hinder me in my walk with God. I am totally sold out to God. You can say I shouldn't pray. It doesn't matter. I fear no one. I am going to pray three times a day and call out to my God. And so when he ended up in the lion's den, God sent his angel and shut the mouth of those lions. And Daniel was supernaturally protected and supernaturally delivered.
That's what he's talking about. Because he has set his love on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he has set his love upon me, because you have set your love upon God and said, God, I will follow you all the days of my life. Deliverance and protection is your portion in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. That's what he said to Simon Peter. Follow me and I will make you. The making of your life starts with a commitment to follow Jesus. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Follow me and I will make you. Fishers of men, I will make you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The fulfillment of God's plan for your life, the fulfillment, your life, having a sense of having been fulfilled and doing what God has told you to do, starts with you making a commitment to follow Jesus. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Or follow me and I will make you. Your destiny in God. Fulfilling what God has called you to do. Fulfilling the reason that God sent you to the earth. Starts with you making a determination that I will not let anything hinder me in my walk with you. My eyes are set upon God. And I know. As I follow him, he is the one that will make me. He's the one that will add color to my life. He's the one that will make me. Follow me and I will make you. Your love for God and your love for his kingdom and your love for him, you make that commitment and you say, nothing is going to hinder me from following him. I am totally sold out to God. I am going to follow him no matter what happened. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same thing. The king said, no, I'm going to make an image. Everyone should bow down to that image. Everyone should, at the sound of the trumpet, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, king, I'm not sure you know what you are talking about. We have made a commitment to serve God and not to bow down to anything else. Even if we go into the fire and our God won't deliver us, we are not bowing down to any other God. We are following God wholeheartedly. That is what we are determined to do. He's the one. Even if we have to die, it doesn't matter. We have to get to that point that God is our uttermost, the one that we are interested in pleasing and following. And sure enough, they went into the fire, but they didn't burn. If you won't bow, you won't bend. God delivered them supernaturally from that fire because they made a commitment. Nothing is going to stand in our way to serving God. God revealed himself to them. That's what Jesus was talking about. If you love me and make a commitment to keep my word, I will manifest myself to you. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they experienced that. They decided that we will keep the word of God. We love God and God revealed himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what happens. He will reveal himself in every area of your life, but it starts with a commitment to serve him and obey him and do what he tells you to do. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. He will dwell with us. He will dwell with us. He will dwell with us. Then we also know that he that dwells in love dwells in God. He that dwells in love dwells in God. When you decide to love God and to put him above everything else, you dwell in God. and God dwells in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Just going through the Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. We have come to know. That means we are sure. We are not doubtful about it. And to believe that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. You abide in God, and God abides in you. And whatever, that will be the end of sickness. Whatever cannot be found in God should not be found in me. You abide in love. You abide in God. God abides in you. You are now in a realm where Satan cannot touch you. The enemy cannot even access your life. You are a no-go zone, a no-go for the enemy, for the devil. He that abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You have now entered the realm where failure is not an option, because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not fail. Love, there is no failure in love. You have entered, you are walking with God closely. God is revealing himself to you. He's making himself manifest to you. And then also he adds, you have boldness in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is love, he has given us his love. And we have made a commitment to love him, and so we walk in boldness, and we walk the way that Jesus walked when he walked on this earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As he is, so are we in this world. My. You should get up every morning and tell that to yourself. I abide in love, and love abides in me. I am born of God. In the name of Jesus, as he is, so am I in this world. Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? What is it that is on your heart that you want me to do for you? I am totally sold out to you, to please you, to serve you in your house, to do what you are telling me. I am totally committed to your kingdom, your purposes on the earth. He that dwells in God dwells in love. Hallelujah. God is love. We have come to estimate that he loved us so much. He paid a great price for us. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? It's a beautiful relationship. He is seeking out my interest. I am seeking out his interest. That's all I'm concerned about. Paul puts it this way, for me to live is Christ. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. If I'm living, then Christ gets the best and maximum value out of my life. For me to live is Christ. I am abiding in love. Love is abiding in me. And so, Christ, have your way and manifest yourself through me. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I no longer live for myself, but I live for the one who loved me and came to die for me by faith in the Son of God. My life is totally committed to God. Christ has completely taken me over, and he's living his life through me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ is getting maximum out of what he did. Let's read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My. If you haven't guessed, my favorite person in the Bible after Jesus is the Apostle Paul. Because I'm also called Paul. Oh, glory. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, glory. That's what 1 John was saying in different words. He said, God loved us first. So he realizes that God loved him first. The Apostle Paul, his story, he was out and about killing people. He was mad at God. Everybody that he's just hauling them into prison. Then he had an encounter with Jesus that totally transformed his life. And now he's saying that, Lord, I want you to get the maximum out of what you did for me. Take me over completely. The life by Christ who lives in me. Now, you are dwelling in love. Christ lives in us. We can say the same thing. We were crucified with Christ. We weren't there when he was crucified. The Apostle Paul wasn't there when Jesus was crucified. But what Jesus did was for the whole human race. He nailed our old man to the cross, the Bible says. And we, when we accepted Jesus, are now born again, come into the kingdom of God. Christ is now living in us. Now, when we make a choice that we love him, we are going to serve him, we dwell in love. Wherever we find ourselves, people notice and say that, no, I can see Jesus in this person's life. I can sense the love and the presence of God. We become fragrance, as the Bible says, the fragrance of God spread everywhere. Hallelujah. That is the good news. When Jesus was walking on the earth, he was only one. But when he went, when he went to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us, and so he can live and live his life through us. Christ lives in us, and so he's free to manifest himself to the world. Hallelujah. But it starts, he says that God, you say to yourself, God, I know you love me. You saw me when Jesus was on the cross. You paid an awesome price for me. Now my life is now totally sold out to you. The life that I'm now living in the flesh, live your life through it. Live your life through it. I'm not going to let anything, nothing, stop me or hinder me in my walk with God. It's a beautiful life. It is a heart issue. Give me your heart, the Bible says, to the proverb says, give me your heart. It becomes a heart issue. Your heart is now totally yielded up to God. You are totally now committed to his cause. My son, give me your heart. That's what God is after. He's after your heart. It's a choice. See, love is a choice. He's love us first, but we have to make a choice. The Apostle Paul made a choice to love God. Peter, the same thing that he did. Love is a choice. We have to make that choice. Peter, when Jesus came back from the dead, he kept asking him. He caught a miraculous amount of fish. Then when he came, when they came out from their shipping trip, Jesus had made breakfast for them. How would you have Jesus make breakfast for you? That's what he's talking about. He's interested. He had made breakfast for them. Bread and fish made by Jesus. My Lord and my God. I'd like to have some of that. Breakfast made by Jesus. They ate that. And then Jesus asked him a question. Do you love me more than this? It's a choice. Peter has to make a choice. Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, do you love me more than this? He said, yes, you know I love you. Third time, do you love me more than this? He said, yes, you know I love you. Then he gave him a responsibility. Then feed my lamb or feed my sheep. Hallelujah. But Peter has to make a choice that I love you. I love you. I love you. So that's what he's saying. My son or my daughter, give me your heart. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me your heart. Proverbs 23, 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my way. So as the apostle put it in 1 Corinthians where we read 2:9, he says, the Spirit of God will reveal these things to you. My son or my daughter, give me your heart and observe my ways. Begin to see the great things that are prepared for you. Give me your love. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. That is what makes for people fulfilling their destinies, our glorious destinies in Christ. Give me your heart and observe my ways. Give me your heart and observe my ways. Begin to let my Holy Spirit reveal to you what I have laid out for those who love me. For those, what has been prepared. What has been prepared. Give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Hallelujah. Let us not just love in word, but in deed. That's what he was, don't just love me with your mouth. Show me your love in your actions. Show me your love and your commitment in your actions. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And then 1 John chapter 3 verse 18 encourages us to not just love in word only, but in our deeds as well. 1 John 3:18. Glory be to God. I like this translation, the English Standard. It says, little children, let us not love in word or talk. Like you say in our language, talk is cheap. But indeed and in truth. Indeed and in truth. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but indeed and in truth. Peter, you are saying, keep saying three times you love me. Do something about that love. Do something about it. Let us not just love in word only. Father, I love you. I love you. Take that next step and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? I am totally committed. Nothing is going to hinder me in my walk with you. I pray this morning, may the love of God come alive in you. May your commitment to God become deeper than ever before. In the name of Jesus, that is what will position you for excellence in the kingdom of God. That is what will position you for success in life. That is what will position you for you to fulfill what God has called us to do. David was a man after God's own heart. And God said to him, your throne is established forever. David was a man that loved God. When the prophet came looking to select a king in Israel, David was at the backside of the wilderness taking care of sheep. That's that word sheep again. Taking care of sheep. He was forgotten. But the thing is, anybody that loves God, no matter where they are, God will find them. God will find the one that loves him, no matter where they are located, no matter where they are. The love of God will find them. This morning I pray, may the love of God find you. David went from taking care of sheep to being a ruler over the household of Israel. You may be at the bottom today. But as you make a determination to serve God, I see you rising up higher and higher in God in Jesus' name and fulfilling what he has called you to do. Love will always find the one that reciprocates their love, no matter where they are. I pray that God's love, the love for God, comes alive in you this morning. That is to your advantage. That is wisdom. That is the key to a life of fulfillment. A key to fulfilling everything that God has for you. See, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Everything about love is about all. He didn't hold back. And we make a determination that we will not hold back. We are totally committed. We are totally yielded. And then he says, love never fails. It never fails. It never fails. Hallelujah. Somebody is destined for greatness and fulfilling God's plan and purpose for their lives. In the name of Jesus. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Just renew your commitment and your love for God. In the name of Jesus, he says, my son or my daughter, give me your heart. Give it to me. I know what to do with it. I will manifest myself and reveal myself to you. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My Lord and my God, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death, persecution, nothing. He says, the time is coming. I'll make a difference between the one that serves me and the one that serves me not. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your plan for our lives, what you have prepared for us, it has not been revealed yet. But thank God, as we are hearing the word of God, you are revealing it to us by your Spirit. Talk to God this morning. Says Jesus, Father, I love you. My life is totally sold out to you. Glory be to God. 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 We thank you that you loved us first. You loved us first and gave yourself for us that we, my Lord, can reciprocate your love. You said you have shed the love of God. That's the good news. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you have given us the ability to love you back. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Godliness is profitable. Thank you, Lord. It's value in serving God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Our lives are sold out to you. Totally committed to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all say this together. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for what you have done for us. We no longer live for ourselves. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith. Through Christ, who loved us and died for us, who make our lives please you and do your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you are listening to this as well, and you say, my life has been about myself so far, but from today, I want to give my life to Jesus so he can do something with it. Just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Today, I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, I'm saved. Help me to live for you and to fulfill your plan for my life. May my life not be the same from today and onwards. My Lord, Father, we give you praise and glory.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.